Welcome to Torah Timecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and this is Parshas Vayechi. Parshas Vayechi discusses the last 17 years of Yaakov's life and his request to Yosef to swear that he will bury him in Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov blesses Yosef's two sons, Menashe and Ephraim, and officially gives them the status of Shvatim, tribes. Yaakov is about to tell his children what will happen at the end of days, and instead gives blessings to each of the tribes, defining for them the unique role they will play in the nation of Yisrael. Yehuda as the rulers, Yisachar scholars, Zevulun at sea, etc. Three sons do not receive blessings. Reuven, Shimon, and Levi are instead rebuked for past mistakes. And then the era of Yaakov, the era of the Avos, is over. And Yosef does ask and receive permission to leave Egypt to bury Yaakov. He is buried with his parents and grandparents in Ma'aras HaMachpelah. After the burial, Yosef comforts and assures his brothers that he bears them no ill will for what they did to him, seeing in the events instead the tremendous hand of Hashem, who has orchestrated all of these events for the benefit of the Jewish nation. And the Parsha and the Chumash concludes with the death of Yosef himself at the age of 110. In this week's Parsha, we have the very famous and unusual story of the blessing of Yaakov to Menashe and Ephraim. Yosef brings his children to Yaakov, and Yaakov asks, "Who are these?" Yosef says to his father, "These are my children that God has given me here." Yaakov says, "Bring them to me and I will bless them." The pasuk then tells us that Yaakov could not see anymore from his old age. Yosef brings them near to him. He kisses them and hugs them. And he says to Yosef, "I hardly thought that I would see you, and now Hashem has granted me to see your children." And now Yosef brings them close for their blessing. And this is when the curious events begin. For although Yosef places Menashe at Yaakov's right and Ephraim at Yaakov's left, Yaakov switches his hands, placing his right hand on Ephraim the younger and his left hand on Menashe the elder, and he blesses them like that. Yosef sees the mistake that his father made, and it says in the pasuk, "Vayira be'inav," it was bad in his eyes, and so he begins to support his father's hand to try to remove it from Ephraim's head to place it on to Menashe's head. And Yosef says to his father, "Lo chein avi, ki zeh habachor," this is not correct, "because this is the elder son, place your right hand on his head." But Yaakov refused, and he says the words, "Yadati b'ni, yadati, I know my son, I know. Gam hu yiyala'am, he will also be a nation. V'gam hu yigdal, he will also become great. V'ulam achiv hakaton, but his younger brother, yigdal mimenu, will become greater than him." Vayivarchim b'yom ha'hu le'mar b'cha yivorach Yisrael. And then in that position, Yaakov blessed them and said, "Israel will bless their children by you, to say, Yisimcha Elokim ke'Ephraim u'chemenashe." They will bless their children, that they should become like you, like Ephraim and like Menashe. Vayasem es Ephraim lifnei Menashe. And once again, he placed the name Ephraim before Menashe. So what is going on here? Firstly, why for all time will every father bless his child to be like these children of Yosef? We would have thought that just as we bless our daughters to be like the Imahos, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, we would likewise bless our sons to be like the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. What was so extraordinary about these two sons of Yosef? And this confusing story, why is Yaakov so insistent that he placed the right hand on Ephraim And what is it that Yosef fears? The Medrash says that when Yosef tried to switch Yaakov's hands, Yaakov says to him, "You think you can overpower these arms? These are the arms I fought an angel with and won." So we don't need too much imagination to understand Yosef's fears. After all, he has suffered so much from sibling rivalry and hatred. When he sees his father perpetuating this reality for yet another generation, we can understand his horror. Let's not do this all over again. Why are you favoring yet another younger son? And Yaakov answers, "Yadati bini yadati. I know everything you know. I know what you suffered, and I know what I suffered. I know the hatred and jealousy that I suffered from my older brother, and I know the hatred and jealousy that you suffered from your brothers. And I know human nature. I know that since the beginning of time, this has been a human malaise. Cain killed Hevel. Yishmael tried to kill Yitzchak. Esav tried to kill Yaakov. And of course, the brothers and Yosef. In fact, we have a wild story in the Medrash about the moon being jealous of the sun. In fact, this trying to get more, fighting for resources, dog-eat-dog world, this has actually been written into the fabric of the creation of the world. So yes, Yosef, yadati bini yadati. I get it. I know it. But I know something else. This jealousy, this hatred, it can be overcome. It can be healed. A person can rise above it. And Yosef, your children will achieve this. In fact, it goes much more than receiving a bracha with Yaakov's right hand. The Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah 97:5 says, "Kishem shekedamo kan, kach kedamo b'chol makom." Just like Ephraim comes first here, he will come first everywhere. Ephraim received everything before Menashe. His tribe will be mentioned first in the camping. His nasi's Karban will be sacrificed first. His children will be listed first. He will inherit first. And the reason for all of this honor is because from Ephraim will come someone so great, Yehoshua ben Nun, the one who took over from Moshe, the one who stopped the sun, that great leader. And even though Menashe will also have a great leader, Gidon, one of the Shoftim, he would not be as great. So this is a big deal. And even so, and even though Yaakov insisted on doing this, and even though the younger will get more than the older, Menashe and Ephraim will break the cycle. There is no jealousy. There is no hatred. And this, says the Imre Baruch, this is what Yaakov is saying. Our nation needs to stop fighting. And our nation can stop fighting. We don't need to always talk about getting bigger pieces of the pie. And your children, they will be the models of this. Your children are the hope of our nation. It is the way of the world to always want more. And your children are different. They will see each other with kindness, with love. They will be happy for each other's successes. And who did they inherit this from? One might say from their father, Yosef. Reading through these parshios, we are watching Yosef, who has suffered so much at the hands of his brothers. And the Torah tells us he is not unmoved by seeing his brothers. But the one emotion he does not express is anger, is hatred. He is overcome by mercy for them. He is overwhelmed by compassion for them and is only concerned that they not be humiliated. In fact, in this week's Parsha, we find out that when Yaakov is near death, someone needs to inform Yosef of this so that he could come and be with his father. And the Medrash Psiksa Rabasi asks, why wasn't Yosef with his father? He tells us something astounding, that for all the 17 years after the wonderful reunification of father and son, Yosef took pains not to be alone with his father. Not ever. Why? He had missed his father so much. He had waited for the time that he could finally have quality time with his father. Why did he stay away? He was so scared that his father would question him about how he ended up in Mitzrayim, about what role his brothers played in this cruel event. He was so nervous that his father would curse his brothers, and so he stayed away. For his brothers, for the sake of his brothers, Yaakov says, Yosef, you have taught your children well. You have been an amazing role model to them. And who did you learn from? Whose genes did you inherit? We would say, Rachel Imenu, Yosef's mother. The pasuk says, Ulelavan shtei banos, shem hagdola Lea, v'shem haktana Rachel. Lavan had two daughters. The older one was Leah, the smaller one was Rachel. Chazal say, although the two wives of Yaakov were essentially equal in greatness, Rachel was just as great as Leah, shem hagdola Leah. And that means gdola b'matnoseha. Leah was greater in her gifts. She will have greater and more long-lasting presence. From her children will essentially come all the gifts of the nation, the priesthood, the Levites, and the kingdom. And yes, Rachel will have some smaller, temporary gifts. She will get Yosef, who will be second to the king for a little while, and she will get Shaul, who will be king for a bit. But the greatest gifts will go to Leah. Everything about Rachel will be less in this world. She will have a shorter marriage, a shorter life, less children, less gifts. And yet, what we see from Rachel to Leah is only love, only giving, only sharing, only compassion. In fact, Medrash tells us the only thing Rachel was ever jealous of Leah was of her good deeds. This ability, this greatness, this understanding that someone can have more without it harming me is the salvation of our nation, and your kids have it. And this is who they inherited it from. And where will it lead? There is a beautiful line in the eulogy that David HaMelech gives to Yonasan in Sefer Shmuel Beis, chapter 1. Where he cries about Yonasan, and he says, Tzar li alecha achi Yehonasan, I grieve for you, my brother Yehonasan. Na'amta li ma'od, you were most dear to me. Niflesa ahavascha li, your love was wonderful to me. Me'ahavas nashim, from the love of women. The Targum Yonasan translates this line as Tartin Nishin, the love of two women. Who is this referring to? The commentaries explain, what was David saying here? Yehonasan, you are the son of the king. You are the crown prince. You should have hated me. You should have wanted me dead. Instead, you loved me. You protected me. Even risked your own father's wrath for me. How can someone love so much? Where does such selfless love come from? Yehonasan, you come from Binyamin, from Rachel Imenu, and I come from Yehuda, from Leah. Not since your mother showed such selfless love for my mother, when she gave my mother the signs, letting her marry Yaakov. She gave her marriage. She gave up everything
for her, to protect her. But look at you. You have this too. This love, this connection, this Ahavas Yisrael. Yaakov turns to Yosef and says, this is the blessing every single father will give his child, will give his children, that his children won't be jealous, that his children will find love, that our children will love, that Klal Yisrael can come together, and ultimately that love and peace will spread across the world. And just as the blessing we give the bride and groom under the chuppah, that God who created love and peace, Ahava v'achva v'shalom v'reos, Mehera Hashem Elokeinu yishama ba'are Yehuda uvechutzos Yerushalayim kol sason v'kol simcha, that quickly there will be heard in the cities of Yehuda and the courtyards of Jerusalem the sounds of joy, so that the sounds of war and the sounds of death will forever be silenced, and only the sounds of love, the sounds of Menashe and Ephraim, the sounds of Rachel and Leah, of David and Yehonasan, supporting each other, complementing each other, serving Hashem together. It has been my pleasure to learn with you Sefer Bereishis this year. And as this Sefer draws to a close, I give all of us a bracha that we continue to learn together, to find comfort together in the timeless and eternal messages of our precious Torah. Chazak, chazak, v'nitzchazek. Thank you for studying together.